The following is a Sunday Feast lecture on the Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter number 4, text number 15, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasadhikari, recorded on July 1st, 2012, in Austin, Texas, USA.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Evam gyatva kritam karma.
Evam gyatva kritam karma.
Purvair api mumukshubi.
Purvair api mumukshubi.
Kuru karmai vatasmatvam. Purvai purvataram kritam. Evam gyatva kritam karma.
Evam gyatva kritam karma.
Purvair api mumukshubi.
Purvair api mumukshubi.
Kuru karmai vatasmatvam.
Kuru karmai vatasmatvam.
Purvai purvatara kritam.
Purvai purvataram kritam.
Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. All the liberated souls in ancient times acted with this understanding of my transcendental nature. Therefore, you should perform your duty following in their footsteps. Purport. And there are two classes of men. Some of them are full of polluted material things within their hearts, and some of them are materially free. Krishna consciousness is equally beneficial for both of these persons. Those who are full of dirty things can take to the line of Krishna consciousness for a gradual cleansing process following the regulative principles of devotional service. Those who are already cleansed of the impurities may continue to act in the same Krishna consciousness so that others may follow their exemplary activities and thereby be benefited. Foolish persons or neophytes in Krishna consciousness often want to retire from activities without having knowledge of Krishna consciousness. Arjuna's desire to retire from activities in the battlefield was not approved by the Lord. One need only know how to act, to retire from the activities of Krishna consciousness and to sit aloof, making a show of Krishna consciousness, is less important than actually engaging in the field of activities for the sake of Krishna. Arjuna is here advised to act in Krishna consciousness, following in the footsteps of the Lord's previous disciples, such as the sun god Vibhishan, as mentioned herein before. The Supreme Lord knows all his past activities as well as those of persons who acted in Krishna consciousness in the past. Therefore, he recommends the acts of the sun god who learned this art from the Lord some millions of years before. All such students of Lord Krishna are mentioned here as past liberated persons engaged in the discharge of duties allotted by Krishna.
Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Jatha Parakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragnatanvitam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Bhadijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamsha.
Well, what does this mean? This is not something new. Arjuna is not being asked to do something new and different. It's not a strange cult. It's an authorized system, a very auspicious system, that all the liberated souls in the ancient times, now this was in ancient times when Krishna said this, so this is the ancient time. The liberated souls acted in Krishna consciousness. Note, they acted in Krishna consciousness. This is Prabhupada emphasizing this point in his purport, and it's a very valid emphasis of Srila Prabhupada. They didn't just sit aloof, well, Hare Krishna, I don't do anything, I'm just Krishna conscious. No, they acted in Krishna consciousness. Krishna wanted Arjuna to be active in Krishna consciousness and to do something for Krishna. I mean, if you really love somebody, you'll do something for them. Not, you know, I love you, Hari Bol. But no, you actually, if you love someone, you'll do something for them. What can I do for you? How can I serve you? You see, that is love. So this is the common denominator of the liberated souls. They acted in Krishna Bhakti consciousness. So for Arjuna to act in that way simply means he is following in the footsteps of the previous Mahajanas. Mahajano yena gata sapanta. One should follow in the pathway of the previous great Mahajanas, the Acharyas. There are 12 great Mahajanas. Prabhupada said this is Krishna's GBC. Svayambhur Nadada Shambhu Kamara Kapilo Manu Prahlado Janako Bhishmo Balir Vayasakir Vayam. These 12 great Mahajanas are listed. Brahma Svayambhur. Svayambhur Nadada Nadmuni Shambhu Lord Shiva. Svayambhur Nadada Shambhu Kumara, the four Kumaras. Kapila Dev. Kumara Kapilo. Svayambhur Nadada Shambhu Kumara Kapilo Manu Svayambhur Manu. Prahlado Janako Bhishmo Prahlad Maharaj. Janak Maharaj, the father of Janaki. Is that Janaki? Sita Devi. Sita Devi's father? He's one of the great Mahajanas. Prahlado Janako Bhishma, grandfather Bhishma Dev. We're studying his, right now in the morning class, Bhagavatam, everyone come. We're studying grandfather Bhishma in the morning class. The instructions to Yudhisthira, who was devastated after killing so many enemy soldiers on the battlefield. He was absolutely mortified, so grandfather Bhishma will enlighten him with transcendental knowledge. Just as Krishna enlightened Arjuna, Bhishma Dev will enlighten Maharaj Yudhisthira. So that Bhishma Dev, and then Bali Maharaj, Vyasakir, Sukadev Goswami, and Vayam, that is referring to Yamaraj, the god of death. So, just as the ancient souls acted, you see, in the line of these great acharyas, these Mahajanas, we must also act. That's the whole point. We must act in Krishna consciousness, do something, you see. Do something for Krishna, you see. If you love someone, you'll do something for them. So do something for Krishna. That is the point. So there's so many things to do. We can chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. Can cook some foodstuffs and offer them to Krishna. We can eat those foodstuffs and offer to Krishna. There's so many things we can do. You see, we can hear about Krishna. We can tell about Krishna. We can chant Hare Krishna. We can go to the temple of Krishna. We can go to visit the holy places. We can hear from the sadhus, the enlightened devotees of the Lord. We can become disciples of the bona fide spiritual master, serve his instructions. There's so many things. They're all for Krishna. They're all doing things for Krishna. Navavidha bhakti. There are 9 different ways you can do things for Krishna. So the point is, if you want to really be happy, if you really want to be free from anxiety, you want to get out of the stress of material consciousness, then you have to always be engaged in doing things for Krishna in any one of these 9 different categories. That's the key, you see. In any condition, whether you're sick, whether you're healthy, whether you're poor, whether you're wealthy, whether you're famous, whether you're infamous, whether you're unknown, in any condition, if one will take up this process of Krishna bhakti very seriously, then he will connect with his original transcendental existence, which is eternally manifested beyond this temporary existence. You are more powerful than this whole universe, actually. This whole universe will come and it will go, but you will continue to exist. So your nature, you see, is more substantial. Your actual spiritual nature is more substantial than this whole universe. What to speak of some, you know, paltry little country like the United States of America or Texas or Austin or John Wood Way, you see? These are nothing compared to you. This whole you will continue, after this whole universe is completely destroyed, you will continue to exist. You are more substantial than any of this phantasmagoria that's going on around us right now, you see? So, the point is, one should not be disturbed by the comings and goings of the material nature. They've been coming and going just like the waves of the ocean since time immemorial. Krishna says, Matra sparshishta konteya shitoshna sukadukada agamapayano nityastangstatikshashvabharata. The non-permanent appearance of happiness and distress and their disappearance in due course are like the appearance and the disappearance of winter and summer seasons. One must therefore learn to tolerate them, O sign of Bharata, without being agitated in your brain. Is it easy to do that? Yes and no. Try to do it on your own strength. It's really tough. It's really, really tough. In fact, you'll have a very hard time doing it on your own strength. But if you try to, you take help from Krishna. My dear Lord Krishna, please help me. I'm a very weak soul. I'm being tossed in the waves of this material nature. I'm just begging you, like a little helpless baby, I'm just begging you to save me, you see. Then it becomes very easy. As soon as we take that mood of a helpless child, you see. Therefore, that's how Prabhupada said we should chant Hare Krishna, like a baby crying to the mother. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. As soon as we take that helpless mood, you see, it's like when there's so many children in the house, and this child wants this thing, that child wants that thing, but who does the mother go to? The baby. The baby gets the first attention, because the baby's in a more helpless position. So I think, well, I'm a big, big Brahma, you see, or a big, big Indra, or a big, big computer programmer, or whatever I may think I am, you see. Oh, Krishna doesn't, he's not going to prioritize you. But if you think, I'm just a helpless soul begging for the mercy of Krishna, otherwise I'm completely lost without his mercy, and then Krishna immediately will come to you, you see. So one has to be intelligent and know how to attack Krishna. One simply has to be intelligent and know what is the technique for attracting Krishna. Is he impressed by your money? Is he impressed by your car? Or your house? Or by how many slokas you can chant? No. That you can give eloquent speeches? No, he's not attracted by any of that stuff. there's one thing that attacks Krishna, and that is that feeling of utter helplessness, the feeling of utter dependence upon his mercy. That's the secret of how to attack Krishna. So how can we develop that mood? That's the next question. How can we develop that mood of completely helpless conscious state, consciousness? Well, you really just have to intelligently analyze what's going on around here, in these woods, parts of this neck of the woods. What's going on around here? People are getting sick, they're getting old, they're dying, they're being mangled in automobile accidents on I-35. I mean, it's going on at every minute. People being shot dead, murders, all kinds of chaos going on here at every minute, you see. We should just wake up and see the reality instead of, you know, come out of this Pollyanna-ish dream state. That life is nothing but a bowl of cherries. We have to see the pits and the cherries. You see? Material life. Maharaj Yudhisthira was very intelligent in this regard. He was inquired by Yamaraj, what is the most wonderful thing in this world? He said, Ahani ahani bhutani ganshantila yamalayam shesha stavaram ichchami kimashtaryamatahapadam. At every moment, countless numbers of living entities are being dragged, screaming and kicking, to the court of Yamaraj. But those who remain here think, oh, not me, you know, death will never touch me. I got my Allstate insurance, you know. I've got my wife, my kids, my dog. I'm covered, no problem, you see. Prabhupada says, fallible soldiers. These are all fallible soldiers. They cannot protect you. When Yamaraj wants to get you, that's it, you see. But for the devotee, there's another nice shloka. Amare Krishna Rakeke, Rake Krishna Marike. If Krishna wants to kill you, nobody can protect you. But if Krishna wants to protect you, nobody can kill you. So whose side do you want to be on? This is intelligent, you see. Even as powerful as was Ravana, as a great worshiper of Shiva, still, when Ram wanted to kill him, he had nowhere to go. Shiva could not even protect him, you see. So, just want to be a little intelligent. Who is that supreme powerful person, you see? Who is the supreme powerful person? The intelligent person will take shelter of the most powerful person. That's where you get the best deal, see? So if you take shelter of Krishna, who is the supreme powerful person, no one can compete with the power of Krishna. Everyone, even the demigods, are afraid of Krishna. The powerful universal controllers, they cannot compete with the power of Krishna. You see? Therefore he is called Parameshwara, the supreme controller, the most powerful person. That person who cannot be conquered, he is called Ajita, unconquerable. No one can conquer Krishna. You see, many tried. We read in Krishna book, many tried and many died. He was a little baby, a little tiny baby, a breast suckler. Even as a little breast suckling baby, nobody could kill him, you see. That Putana demon, she came, you see, smearing the poison on her breast. Ha ha ha, I'm going to kill this little baby. She got her life air sucked out. She was screaming, child, leave me, leave me, leave me. Her life air, the poison was sucked out without hurting Krishna, and he sucked out her life air. Killed her just by sucking her breast. He killed her, you see, assassinated her. He assassinated his assassin. You see? So many people, they tried to kill Krishna. Krishna can never be killed by anyone. He's the supreme powerful. I mean, he protects you. Death cannot touch you. So devotee actually doesn't worry about death at all. He thinks, well, you know, I'm not the body anyway. Whenever Krishna wants, if he wants me to die right now, that's cool. I can handle it. Doesn't matter. because I'll serve Krishna here in this, I'll either serve him in this room or in the other room. See, being a body is like being in one room, just like you're in your house, you know, you can be in the living room doing something, you can go to the dining room, the bedroom. It's not a big deal. What room am I in? It doesn't matter what room I'm in. You see, I'm in the house. So for devotee, this body is just one room in the existential house. Whether I'm in this room or that room, it's not a big deal. Am I going to cry? Oh, I have to go into the kitchen now. No. There's something happening in the kitchen. I have to leave the living room. I'm so attached to the living room, I can't go in the kitchen. I mean, what kind of nonsense is that? I can't go to the kitchen. I'm so attached to the living room. No. I can go to the kitchen, no problem. There's something happening in there. I want to go do it. You see? So for devotee, death is not a big deal. It's just going from one room to another in the house. It's not a big deal. But if you think you are the living room, and your existence depends on being the living room, and you have to leave the living room, you're going to be absolutely, totally devastated. Because your whole concept of existence is being completely, totally smashed. You understand? Therefore, one should become Brahman realized, you see, by hearing from the spiritual master, by hearing from the Vaishnavas, from hearing from the scripture. And what is Brahman realization? I am not this body. Aham Brahmasmi. I'm not the body, you see. As soon as you realize and accept and can celebrate the fact that you're not your body, you're already a liberated soul. You're already liberated. And then to become solidly situated in liberation, you have to understand what are the activities of liberation, and that's the point of this verse. Liberation is not a non-active state where I don't do anything. There is a class of philosophers who conceive of liberation as a state of non-doing. But they can only be liberated after undergoing great austerities and penances. Aruya krishchena parang padam tadapatatnyutodnadritadushmadangriyaha. Even after undergoing great penances and austerities, trying to attain that state of non-doingness, they can only do it, quote unquote, for a short period of time. You can't do non-doing very long. But you can come back to doing again, you see. So they come down to, again, to the material existence. So the permanent liberation, the permanent moksha, it's called nirvana vilambitani, that which minimizes the value of the state of doing nothing, you see, the nirvana state. That nirvana vilambitani, that which minimizes the value of this impersonalistic or Buddhistic liberation, is bhakti. Because now you learn how to do things on the spiritual platform, on the liberated platform. Krishna says in the Gita, he who sees action in inaction, and inaction is a man of true knowledge. You see? So one has to then actually understand, you see, it's like the Sanskrit word is kritam. You see, this kri, where karma, you see, same thing, kritam, kri. That Sanskrit kri means doing, you see. So they try to achieve akrita. But as a result, they end up doing diskrita, inauspicious activities. Unless you can learn how to perform transcendental activities, if you simply try to enter into the state of non-doingness, you will not remain there. You will come in direct, you will come to inauspicious activities eventually. So instead of trying to be a non-doer of activities, try to learn how to do things on the transcendental platform, following in the footsteps of all the liberated souls in the ancient times and in the ancient time. This will then bring you into an eternal life full of knowledge and bliss, completely free from all of the anxieties of birth, death, old age, and disease. So I can ask now if there's any questions. Yes.
Gurudev, you mentioned in the list of 12 Mahajanas, Bhishma is one of the Mahajanas. So I just want to understand, you know, if someone is designated as Mahajana, why would they act in a non-Krishna conscious way?
Actually, Bhishma was always acting in a Krishna conscious way, but it's a certain rasa relationship he had with Krishna. Krishna enjoys all kinds of different activities. And one part of his Krishna also has a sporting nature. So, in order to him to satisfy his sporting nature, some of his devotees, they take up these, they have what's called a chivalrous rasa with Krishna, fighting rasa. Just like I've seen one father, Rohini Nandana Prabhu, he was there in Vrindavan, and he and his son, they just started wrestling with each other. It was a fun for them. The father and son were wrestling. It was a sporting, a great fun for them. They would wrestle sometimes. The father and the son would wrestle with each other. You see. So it is something like that. It's a sporting activity. There's no enmity. It is simply a sporting activity. The acharyas have compared the arrows of Bhishma Dev to what are called lovers' bites. Sometimes the lovers, they not only kiss, but they sometimes bite in their affection and make a wound on their lover's body. It's called love bite. So it is compared by our acharyas, the arrows of Grandfather Bhishma are like love bites. Taken as a loving affection by Krishna. So do not think that this is completely transcendental. The pastimes of being Krishna and Grandfather Bhishma are completely transcendental. Yeah?
Bhishma favored Kaurava, who were on the other side. So
that was so he could fight with Krishna. By taking the other side, that enabled him to fight with Krishna. But he was worshipped by all the Pandavas. These are grandfather. They came on his deathbed. They all came to offer respect to him. He was never seen as an enemy. But he actually is described according to Kshatriya codes because he was maintained by Duryodhana. Therefore, he's obliged to fight for Duryodhana. Just like if you're working for Texas state government, isn't it? Yeah. So if they have some conflict with some company over, you know, then you have to take the side of who you're employed by in that conflict. As an employee, it's your duty. There's some conflict. You see, it's like an attorney. He's hired by someone. He has to fight for them in the court. Right or wrong doesn't matter, because he's hired by them. So, in the same way, Bhishma Dev, he's employed by Duryodhana. He's maintained by Duryodhana. Therefore, he's obliged to fight for Duryodhana, according to Kshatriya codes. Question?
Gurudev, you mentioned that in order to attract Krishna, we have to develop helpless mood.
What kind of mood?
Helpless.
Yes.
Mood. But if someone has everything good going in their life, how can they develop that kind of mood?
If everything's going nicely, that's a difficulty of being in America. That's why 9-1-1 was actually a blessing for this country. Yeah, I remember one of our sannyasis was preaching in a different country. He came and he called America the land of illusion. So in this country, it's difficult. I mean, in other countries where there's so much difficulty, it's easier for people to take to Krishna consciousness. Much easier. Here it's very difficult to get anybody interested in Krishna consciousness. I think, what do I need religion for? I got everything I need. Who needs God? You see? Or if they approach God, it's simply to give me more, maybe more money, more prestige, you know, give me a Cadillac, a brand new Cadillac, that kind of thing. as far as helplessly approaching God, they've completely surrendered his lotus feet. It's very difficult in America for people to come to that consciousness. That's why the Prabhupada's books are so very, very important. Anyone who reads these books, you see, they will get very good, by the mercy of Prabhupada, they will get very good understanding. Just like the other week ago, Thursday, one of our former presidents here, Bill Clinton, he got Bhagavad Gita from our devotee in California. It's very auspicious. Actually, he approached the devotee. Often we approach a politician and give him a book, that's one thing, but Mr. Clinton approached Bhakta Brian. He was out on the street distributing books. Bill Clinton walked up to him on the street, shook his hand. He was approached by Bill Clinton. So hopefully, you see, by reading Prabhupada's books with an open mind, people can get an understanding, you see, of their actually helpless position here. Prabhupada will open the curtains, the curtain of Maya, which is covering our eyes. If we read Prabhupada's books, that curtain will be drawn back and we'll see the reality. Prabhupada's books are so important. Everyone should have a full set of Prabhupada's books in their home and constantly reading these books. It's my request to all of you. If you don't have a full set, just let us know. We can order them for you. Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, just let us know. We can order you, get you all the books. Everyone should have a full set of Prabhupada's books in your home and be reading them. You know, one book, you keep your bookmarker and just read these books. Because by the mercy of Prabhupada, he so wonderfully explained it in such a intelligent and attractive way that anybody who reads Prabhupada's books will understand the reality, you see. So my speaking is simply Prabhupada's books. We're not doing speaking something different. Whatever Prabhupada has given, I'm speaking with them. I'm studying for 41 years Prabhupada's teachings. And every day I'm learning more and more about them. There's no end to learning them and mastering them deeper and deeper and deeper. So this is the key. Prabhupada's teachings are the key. Krishna's teaching, as explained by Prabhupada, he has made it a clear. Previously, no one understood what the Bhagavad Gita meant. Practically no one understood that it meant to submit to Krishna. There were hundreds of editions of Gita in English. How many devotees of Krishna did they produce? Zero. It's like our famous American philosopher, Henry David Thoreau. He regularly studied Gita. It's a famous book he wrote. We studied it when I was in high school. It's a famous book called Walden, or Walden Pond. I forget which name it. He said in the morning, I bathed my intellect in the stupendous and cosmogonal philosophy of the Bhagavad Gita, in comparison with which this mundane world and its literature seemed very puny and trivial. Even though he so much appreciated Gita, he didn't know how to become a devotee. He just took it as a philosopher, you see. But Prabhupada's Gita, as it is, produced thousands and thousands, and it just continues. And now it's translated into so many languages all over the world. Now in Mongolia, of all places, our movement is taking off like a rocket. We're establishing it. Building a temple in Mongolia, if you can imagine. Hare Krishna temple in Mongolia. The home of the famous conqueror, what's his name, Genghis Khan. Famous Genghis Khan. Now his place, they're becoming Krishna conscious. Yeah. So this is the great power of Prabhupada's books, you see. Anybody who reads these books, who opens their mind up, even just for one page, read one page with an open mind, they'll be completely, their consciousness will be transformed. And they'll realize that I'm helpless before the Lord. I must take shelter of Him. Any other questions? Yes. Yeah.
Well, reading Prabhupada's books is one thing. You can read as a novel, or one can read without practice, can they become a devotee and get the benefit of the books
written? Anybody who reads them seriously will definitely have an impact on their consciousness. They may not follow them immediately. We've seen that case. Sometimes people read as an enjoyable experience, but they don't take it up. But I guarantee you, the seed was planted, and sooner or later it will fructify. Anybody who reads these books, sooner or later they're going to come forward and surrender to Krishna completely. There's such power in these books of Prabhupada. It may not happen immediately. It may be many years for some people. But anybody who has read these books with appreciation, they will be, that day will come and they will surrender. I can guarantee you absolutely. It could be a future lifetime for some, but it will happen. These books are so powerful. Anybody who comes in contact with these books will eventually become liberated. So that's a great power, Papa. Any other questions? Yes. Actually, Jamavati has been waiting here.
Gurudev, every morning my helper, who is a Christian, asked me what the lesson was. So today,
lessons?
Yes, today's lesson from the Bhagavad Gita is that we should take action in Krishna or God's service. So she's a Christian. Should I encourage her? This is what Krishna says. You should take action in Krishna or God's service.
What do you think?
I don't know, because she's taking all these lessons I'm telling her as a Christian. And she's
do you think God makes any distinction?
No. So,
do you think everyone should serve Krishna? So why should you think not, other than that maybe you shouldn't tell her to serve God?
No, I just am hoping my preaching is proper, because she's trying to take it like a Christian. Not.
We have no objection if the Christians become pure devotees. We'd be happy if they give up eating meat and fully absorb themselves in hearing and chanting the devotees of God 24 hours a day without any sinful activities. They can remain Christians. And this is not a sect. Krishna consciousness is not a sect. It is not a religion. This is the science of God. It's equally applicable, whether you're a Christian, a Hindu, a Jew, a Muslim, a Sikh, or a Jain. Doesn't matter.
It seems to me that she is bringing her Christian lessons also to you.
No, she's asking me, what did Gurudev teach, or you teach that day?
And encourage her to completely, encourage her to give up eating meat.
She has given up meat now, and she's reasonably living a sin-free life. She's making a lot of progress. But now, do I try to get her to take the step?
Do you give any books?
Yes, all the books are available. She has.
How many has she read?
She tried to read the Bhagavad Gita and she couldn't. She said she couldn't understand.
Well, have her write down all of her questions, and then you can answer all of her questions. Any other questions?
You often mention that we should read Prabhupada's books and take things as they are. So, like, sometimes we see, like, senior devotees, like, very senior devotees in the movement, they've been studying Prabhupada's books for very long, but then they present, like, kind of different...
For example? Oh, then there's no examples, and why is it an issue? How can it be an issue? There's no examples of it ever happening.
There are. I just, like, on the spot, can't think of it. So I can ask.
Yeah. Sometimes it happens. I know I'm dealing with that situation. In a place where I preach, one god brother was preaching things that were actually against Prabhupada's teachings. So the real thing is, you have to ask. You should ask me. I understand properly. Sometimes God brothers do twist Prabhupada's teachings and present something which is not actually true. That's why you have to ask me. It's not. There is an actual teachings that Prabhupada has given, like Ritvik philosophy, for example. Some Prabhupada disciples are promoting Ritvik philosophy. So when these issues come up, you can ask me. I explain what is the actual understanding. It's not a relative thing. Well, I, Prabhupada, everybody has their own Prabhupada. No, there is one Prabhupada. And I understand Prabhupada. I understand his teachings. There's a common understanding of Prabhupada's teachings by many, many senior devotees. And if somebody presents something different, then you should check with me. You can write me an email and tell me specifically what it is, because there are, I mean, I one godbrother, he said at a public lecture, he told everybody to pick their rasa. Yeah, I was shocked. Pick your rasa. What do you like to be? You want to be a gopi, a cowherd boy, a cowherd girl? Pick your rasa, meditate on it, and you can attain it. That was his teach. Completely bogus thing he was teaching. I couldn't believe it. I reported him to GBC. And then he said, oh, I didn't really mean to say it. It just came out of my mouth. Then why is he sitting in the Vyasa Sam? If somebody can't control what comes out of their mouth, they shouldn't be sitting in the Vyasa Sam. There are things like that that happen. I know they do happen. I had to report him to GBC. He was telling everybody to pick their rasa, which is, it's in two ways it was incorrect. The first thing is, you don't pick your rasa. You already have it. Everybody has their rasa. It's called svarup. You have your rasa with Krishna. Everyone has their identity with Krishna. Number two is, you don't realize it what it is until you become a completely pure devotee, completely free from lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion, and envy. Completely pure devotee. Then you realize your rasa. He was telling the guests, they weren't even initiated, who were having illicit sex, eating meat, pick your rasa. Can you imagine that? I know it's happening. I just wondered specifically when you were talking about. These things are happening around. It's a fact. I've seen it. I've been reported, one disciple reported me, he had done this. So I wrote him, he said, oh, I never say such things. And then he did it again, and my disciple sent me an MP3 recording of it, and I had it documented, proof that he had done it. So, oh, it just came out of my mouth. I don't know how, I never say such things, but it just came out of my mouth. So there are things like this. Sometimes devotees preach bogus philosophy. That's why we have a GBC. You see. The GBC immediately corrected him, and he had to say, oh, I didn't mean to say it. We have a GBC who can decide if somebody is deviating. You see, you can ban them from preaching. If someone is preaching, like the Ritviks have been banned from preaching in any ISKCON temples, they're preaching a false doctrine, concocted doctrine. But that's what the GBC is there. The GBC can say, this guru is bogus, he's not bona fide, the disciples should now reject him. That happens sometimes too. That's why we have a GBC body. So, but specific controversies are there. You should write me and tell me what they are. I can show you. I won't give you my opinion. I'll show you in Prabhupada's teaching. I can show you from Prabhupada's teaching exactly what the proper understanding is.
Sometimes they actually will have a list of quotes to support a certain point.
All right, well then let's see what their list is and what their point is and see if they're taking it out of context. The Ritviks do that, but they take it completely out of context. Yeah.
Sometimes they bring in some other books. It's not from Srila Prabhupada, and try to present their point.
They bring in works of the previous acharyas. They like to do them. But Prabhupada said, you cannot understand the previous acharyas. Only through me, as I explain them, can you properly understand them. As a lecture in Los Angeles, he made this point. You can't jump to Bhaktivinoda Thakur and properly understand him on your own. You can only understand Bhaktivinoda Thakur as I explain him to you. You see, devotees want to quote this verse, that place. No, what is Prabhupada saying? You see, Prabhupada is our authority. They want to bring a quote from Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Well, we're not qualified to directly understand Bhaktivinoda Thakur. We're not. We have to understand Bhaktivinoda Thakur as Prabhupada has explained him to us. Not that we jump over Prabhupada's head They bring quotes from, you know, different, this Purana, this place, that place. No, but you're not qualified to jump over Prabhupada's head, sir. You understand through Prabhupada, he is our connection. You see, this is the system. It's called Parampara system. You can't jump over the head to previous acharyas and properly understand. You have to understand through your... Prabhupada is our founder acharya. I am your spiritual master. And on my order, Prabhupada's books are your authority. Prabhupada's teachings are your authority. I've ordered you that they are your authority. So don't... They may bring quotes from Jiva Dharma or this place or that place. It's not relevant. Prabhupada told us, you understand Bhaktivinoda through what I've told you. That's how you probably understand Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So take what Prabhupada said directly. That's the system. In any, you can bring me, you bring the, under these, there's many controversies out on the internet. I know you're active on the internet, so you're going to run into a lot of this stuff out there. But I can answer every bit of it. I can show you exactly what Prabhupada wants, and I can prove it to you. So you should submit all of it to me. That's why I'm here. Take advantage of my presence on this planet. I will not always be here. Take advantage of me while I'm here to get these things resolved in your mind.
But sometimes we
accept.
Sometimes we accept what others say because it suits me.
Well, that's called... You know, the sense gratification. That's no good. Not what I like to hear. Let me, you know, just let my bodies do that, you see. Well, I like this idea that I'm God. It sounds pretty good. It suits me. So I'll accept my body philosophy. No, you have to find out what the truth is. Not what suits you. Find out what's actually true, you know. Not come on with your own agenda. Well, I want to have this and this out of the Vedic understanding. So I'll take what suits me. And leave aside what doesn't suit me. It's like the old farmer, you know, Ardha Kakuti Nyaya, farmer, half end logic. I like this end of the hen because it gives nice big eggs. I get a lot of rupees for them in the marketplace. Very nice end of the hen. This end, he eats so much chicken feet, or she. No good, no good, no good. Cut off the head, you see. What a stupid farmer, you see. So don't take the teachings what suits you. Then you're gonna kill the goose, you're gonna kill the hen. Take what's actually true. You see? Truth works. If you actually stick what's actually true, you're gonna get enlightened, you're gonna get liberated.
Sometimes we like to follow the scientists also.
The scientists?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, the scientists have quite a following nowadays of them. They're very popular. Darwin is very, very popular. When we go to the UK, I hate it, but you know, we transit through London quite often on our trips to Europe and India. So a lot of times we have to stay in the hotel there in the overnight to make our, like we go to Bulgaria. The flight for Bulgaria leaves before the plane arrives from the U.S., so we have to overnight it in London and go to Bulgaria. So we have to get some British money to get the what's called the Hopper bus. It's between the hotel and the airport, and we have to get Charles Darwin there on the money. I don't like it, you know. Charles Darwin. Every time I go there, I have to look at Charles, old Chucky, you know, and the Charles Darwin on the money. What can you do? And then they drive us down to the temple. I give lectures there. And when they do that, we give a lecture at Soho Street Temple in London. They drive my disciple, aspiring disciple, back to Robin. He'll come from the manor and drive me down to Soho. And on the way down, you have to go by the, what's it called, the National Museum?
Yes.
It's the Darwin Temple, what it is. They have a big, big Darwin, Charles Darwin Temple in downtown London. The temple for George Charles Darwin, and to celebrate the great scientist who's on their money, and you know it's a very much a Charles Darwin oriented society right now. They're still accepted as gospel truth in the media. You see it all the time. Evolution is accepted as it's accepted by the media as a given fact. You see, but where is there a proof of any species becoming another species has never been proven. And actually, recent discoveries in molecular biology, and you see, when Darwin gave his theory, molecular biology, that field didn't even exist in those days. Science had not advanced to that, you know, they hadn't gone down to the molecules yet. But there's a whole field, molecular biology, looking at biology on the molecular level. And if you take molecular biology and you analyze it from another new emerging field in mathematics called statistical analysis, combine molecular biology with statistical analysis, becomes blatantly obvious that the evolution is mathematically impossible. But still, it's such a dogmatically accepted by everybody. You know, they don't want to hear about molecular biology and statistical analysis, even though this is science. Science has proven that Darwin's theory is false, but people don't want to hear that part of science. Because it doesn't jive with their idea. Well, if Darwin is right, then there is no God, and we can just enjoy our senses without having to pay any price for it. You see, Darwin became very popular because now there's a way to explain away God. Now I can enjoy. I don't have to worry about being punished. I can just enjoy. There's no God to answer to. Darwin is shown. We don't need God anymore.
Isn't that the same philosophy with the Mayavad philosophy? When Shankaracharya gave the...
roundabout way, they're all denying God. Actually, Shankara's philosophy is simply covered atheism. They say they believe in God, but you ask them, what is that God? They say, well, he has no form, he has no qualities, he has no name, he has no pastime. But he's not really he, he's it. I mean, you know, it's atheism. It's simply a covered form of atheism. Shankara's impersonal philosophy simply covered atheism. It was a tactic to attract the Buddhists, the atheistic Buddhists, to accept the Vedic, to accept Vedanta Sutra as a guiding principle. That's all. He juggled the sutras, the shlokas of the Vedanta Sutra, to explain them in an impersonal way. We had a whole seminar on this in Sydney, a whole day long seminar on this. Was it a week ago Sunday? Yeah, last Sunday, or a week before. Maybe it was 2 weeks ago Sunday.
No.
Was it last Sunday?
Yeah.
No?
Yes.
Last Sunday, yeah, just 7 days ago. We had a seminar on this. It's actually described in the Bhagavad Gita very nicely. I can remember where it's described. I think it's 7-8. How the impersonalists twist things. They take it out of context. Yeah. There are some shlokas in the Shvetashvatara Upanishad. Specifically, the impersonalists are very attracted to Shvetashvatara Upanishad 3:10. In that verse it is stated, Tato yad uta tarang tad arupam anamayam yo etad vidur amritaste bhavanti yate tare dukam eva payanti. Focus on the word I just spoke, arupam, which literally means no form. So they say, oh, therefore God has no form. But they take this out of context, because the previous two verses, text 8 and 9, say, Vedaham etang purusham mahantam. You know what purusham means? Person. Mahantam. Purusham mahantam, supreme person. Vedaham etang purusham mahantam aditya varnam tamasa parastat. Tameva viridvat mritam eti nanya panta vijate yanaya. That's text 8. Again, in text number 9, again, purus person again is mentioned, text 9. Yasmat param na param asti kinchit, yasman naniyo na jayo asti kinchit, viksha eva stabdo divitashya tekas, tanedam punam purushena sarvam. Purushena, again, purush. Purush means person, you see. So verses 8 and 9 talk about the Supreme Person. Text 10 says, no form, that means he has no material form. That's him. It's very simple. But they don't want to talk about text 8 and 9. They only want to talk about text number 10. This is the fallacy. This is the cheating of the impersonalists. They will take something out of context and explain it in their own way. You can do that. Just like in that chapter, the same chapter, text 11. You can take it out of context. Krishna, what does Krishna say? He says, I am that sex life which is not contrary to religious principles. But they can take it, they can say, well, I am sex life, comma, which is not contrary to religious principles. See the difference? Sex is me. Whether it's marriage, whether it's rape, it's all me. You see? I am sex life, which is not contrary to religious principles. That's not what he's saying. Krishna is saying, I am that sex life, which is not contrary to religious principles. In other words, sex which is contrary to religious principles, that is not me. But sex which is in accordance with religious principles, that is me. You see? So you can take things out of context and twist the meaning. This is why we need a bona fide spiritual master to explain things. If you approach the Vedas on your own, you'll never understand. You'll be bewildered. You will be bewildered to understand properly the Vedas. You have to hear from a bona fide spiritual master. And what does a bona fide spiritual master mean? One who has come in disciplic succession from Krishna. That's what it means. The acharyas have properly understood what Krishna means. We have to hear from them. You cannot approach on your own. Without that connection with acharya, you'll be lost and confused. Your Vedic understanding, you see. Mayayapahritajnana. Even if you're a learned Sanskrit scholar, I've seen in the university, the Sanskrit teacher, he told us these stories in the Vedas, their mythology. You see. I was saying, what is this nonsense? The University of Texas here, I took the UT Sanskrit course, one, you know, Sanskrit 101. That was enough. They say that we're open-minded intellectuals here, but what's your proof? It's mythology. That's dogma. You're being dogmatic. You're dogmatically rejecting the truth of the Vedas. Where's your proof? It's not true. It's just, it's a dogma. Or it's not true. Because we say it's not true. That's dogma. Where's your proof that it's not true? You have no proof. You see? It's like someone says, there is no God. What's your proof there's no God? Can you look in every corner of the universe? You can't even look in every part of this ocean. You're not even powerful enough to go to the depths of the ocean and examine every square inch of the ocean, sir. And you're saying there's no God? You can't even analyze the ocean completely. And you're saying there's no God within the whole universe or within the whole existence? What's your proof? You have no proof. You can't prove there's no God. You have no way of proving it. It's simply dogma. But they want us to believe this. They want us to believe their atheistic dogma. They expect us to believe it. Fools rush in when angels fear to tread. Sorry, folks. I'm not taking it. I'm not buying into your atheistic dogma. God is a fact. When God can be realized, God can be experienced. You can have a personal relationship with God. God is the source of everything. How can something exist without a source? Can you show me anything that exists without a source? Can you show me any experience or any example of getting something out of nothing? When you make popcorn, do you start with an empty pot?
Pot is thing.
Ah.
Pot is something.
Is not. You don't. If you can get popcorn out of an empty pot, then I'll become an atheist. That's my deal. I'll make a deal with you. If you can pop popcorn out of an empty pot, I'll become an atheist. I'll join you in the American Atheistic Society. I'll become a life member of the American Atheistic Society. If you can get popcorn out of an empty pot. I'll join your atheistic society.
Well, I'm saying what is also one substance.
Huh?
What is also a substance there?
Pot is what?
Pot is also something.
Pot is something.
Yeah.
But I'll give you a concession. I'll even let you have the pot. And even with having the pot in the stove, you're still not going to... Even the cooking oil, I'll let you have cooking oil. I'll let you have a pot. And let me see if you can get some popcorn out of them. No. Without those kernels, you see, you're not going to get popcorn. So you can't get something out of nothing. That's a scientific fact. You cannot get something out of nothing. Therefore, there must be something from which everything has come. And that is God. How are you going to deny? Your denial is not scientific. The acceptance that there must be an original source for everything, that is scientific. That is scientific. So don't ask me to be a non-scientific atheist. I will be a scientific theist. I don't want to be a blind follower of anything. I didn't want to be a blind follower of any sect of religion, nor did I, that's why I came to the Krishna consciousness movement. I could see this is not a sect of religion. This is the science of reconnecting with the source of all existence. Any other questions? Yeah.
Yes, Gurudev, recently I heard on CNN News that there's a new, they have taken a survey and they have found that nationwide children, young people, they used to be 87 or 98% believed in God. They took it for granted that God exists, and now it has fallen to like 68%.
And it'll fall even further. That's called Kali Yuga.
So what can we do?
The Srivad Prabhupada books. The Srivad books, the Srivad books, the Srivad books, the Srivad book. Take the books, go out on, you know, go out somewhere in a public place and distribute the books. That's the key. Go door to door. The Jehovah's Witnesses came to our door the other day. So you go out door to door, take some books and go door to door. We have books. Take the books, go door to door. Go out on somewhere in a public sidewalk. There's like Bhakti Brian, he went out with the books, he stood there, and Bill Clinton walked up to him and took a Bhagavad Gita. Let's see. Get out there with the books. That's the key. Distribute books, distribute books. Because these books have the power to transform anyone. I talked with some devotees. There's a bunch of bands that tour the U.S. It's called the Warped Tour?
Warped.
Warp?
ED.
Not ED, but just Warp?
With an ED
on it, yeah. And so they go to these concerts, and there's one devotee, he does 200 books every day. He sells 200 sciences to the youth. 200 books every day he does at these Warp Tours, concerts. And they just, devotees travel the whole country following the Warp Tour to unwarp them, you know. It's great. 200, can you imagine? And there's a group, they do 1,000 books a day. They sell them. Gitas and Shreya Science of Self-Realization. 1,000 books a day are going out to the youth. So this book distribution is the key, you see. The more we can go out and distribute books and give them prasadam and the holy names. Just like now we're organizing, there's a yoga festival coming up in October. We're organizing to have a booth there. We can go there and sell the books, give out prasadam. Being organized here. So we'll keep it, you'll be updated on them. So we have to have this missionary spirit to get these books out there, to get the knowledge out there. That'll save the world. You see? Anything else? Okay, then we'll stop here. We thank you very much. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Who gets the garland today? Oh, yes. Our prayers especially for Deepak Gandhi. Going through a hard time. Krishna is giving you special mercy. Special blessings from Krishna.